we'll end this time in December, and it'll be a completely different season. So within this circle, this imaginary circle in space, we just sit present with the season changing and the days passing in stillness. And of course, whether or not you've entered into the practice period in a formal way of committing to coming to certain periods of zazen and classes and talks and all, of course, it's an open, it's a permeable circle here. It's always welcome. Everyone can come and go as you wish. And those who have committed to coming more regularly, we will all together hold this space of practice for the rest of the world, actually. It might not seem like we're offering such a gift when we're just sitting there facing the wall, but I think it's a profound gift. Maybe one of the greatest gifts we can offer is just to stop and be present in the midst of our life. And tomorrow we start to break in the practice period. We'll start with sesshin. Sesshin means gathering the mind, gathering the heart into one place called right here, now. Ancient Zen tradition of sitting extended time period, so 4 days starting tomorrow at 5 in the morning. We'll just sit through the day, and we'll have our special way that we eat meals in the ancient way, with our bowls out on the platform, and get served food and gratefully receive what comes. And we'll be looking into, in talks and discussions, a text, an old Zen text called the Denko Roku. Thus we call this sesshin the Denko-e sesshin. Denko means, most commonly translated as, a transmission of light. And A means assembly, so it's a transmission of light assembly sesshin. And the Denko Roku is the record of transmitting the light. And it's stories of our Zen ancestors going back to Shakyamuni Buddha and long ago in India, and this lineage of light that traveled through all these Indian Zen ancestors to Chinese ancestors. And this particular record is written by Keizan Zenji, who lived in the 14th century. And it very conveniently happens to be his Memorial Day tomorrow to start this sesshin. In Japan, they celebrate Dogen Zenji and Keizan Zenji's Memorial Day on the same day, September 29th, which is tomorrow, I think. Yeah. So we'll do a ceremony to celebrate that the author of this Denko, this transmission of light record, to start the sesshin. And then we'll start getting into the stories he collected and his commentaries on them. But tonight, I'd like to just talk a little bit about light. It's a transmission of light, transmitting the light, but what is this light? Light is a very unique thing. Like ordinary light that we experience all the time is actually quite extraordinary. So light is filling the room right now, but we actually don't see the light, right? We see like the light reflected off of things. We can't see the rays of light, actually. But we see, everything we see is reflections of light. So it's like there's signs that there's light. Unless it's completely pitch black, completely dark, there seems to be evidence that there's light in the room, but we can't see the light itself, right? We can just see the objects that it reveals. The light indiscriminately shining on every single one of us and every single thing. That we can see all these things and we can see each other reflected in the light, but we can't see the light directly. But interestingly, this book of Kazans is not talking about transmission of the things that the light is reflected on. It's talking about the transmission of the light itself, something that can't be seen. Can't be seen, and yet it can be appreciated, can't it? Like when the sun comes up in the morning, especially if we're camping or something, right? We don't have any light source at all. That's when we really appreciate. Like we basically have to stop doing everything in the dark. The whole animal world slows down and stops, except for those special night creatures. Because basically the light is not there to be appreciated. So then the sun comes up again and suddenly the whole world is revealed. It's very easy to take light for granted. It's so totally ordinary, right? It's extraordinary in the fact that it illuminates everything. And yet we can't see it at all. And it's very ordinary in that every time there's a light on or the sun is shining, we can live in this world of things. So because the light is not actually something, like the things that it illuminates, you know, how could it really be transmitted? How could it be passed along? That's impossible. And yet, we could say an appreciation of the light, a deep appreciation of the light, can actually be conveyed from person to person. And it seems to me that that's what Kazan's record is celebrating, is people who actually weren't really appreciating the light. They were living in it, of course. We're all living in the light, but they didn't really appreciate it. And then each of these people, and in this case, they're generally stories of people who felt like they just weren't appreciating the light. They maybe had even heard many times and knew that they were living in the midst of it, but they just weren't appreciating it. But there were certain occasions where something was pointed out to them about the light in a way that their mind and heart opened to total appreciation of light. And this collection of stories is about these moments. These moments when they went from non-appreciation to appreciation of light. So really we could call it the transmission of appreciation of light. And so for short we say transmission of light. Because in a way, that's what light is, full, when it's fully appreciated, that's when it's light. Like the jewel is already warm, but it needs to be warmed by warm jewelers. So we do this. There's nothing lacking ever, but yet it calls us to appreciate the warmth of the jewel and the invisible light. So a couple generations of ancestors before Kazan. So Dogen, many people I know have heard of Dogen, is the founder of this particular lineage of Zen, Soto Zen, in Japan. And his disciple was named Ejo, Ko-un Ejo, who was the first Shuso at Dogen's first temple. I think we brought up a little story of conversation between them last week. So Ejo, you know, didn't actually ever write that much that got recorded that we have today. Basically this one piece that he wrote. Whereas his teacher wrote volumes and volumes, which is partly why Dogen is so celebrated today. And then a couple of generations later was Kazan, the transmission of light appreciator. So this light was seemed to be an issue for Ejo, Dogen's disciple Ejo, because the one thing that he wrote is called Absorption in the Treasury of Light. Komyozo Zamai, the samadhi, or one-pointedness of the storehouse or treasury of light. And it's a long piece, but it ends in this, what I would consider, quite wonderful Zazen instruction. So, I know some people just arriving today were asking, well, what is it about Zen? People practice Vipassana, and what's the difference here? So I think this is a nice summary of Zen, particularly Zen meditation practice. And as we enter into 4 days of sitting Zazen, starting tomorrow, this is some inspiration for how to sit, according to Ko-un Ejo. He says, I humbly say to comrades who have the same true aspiration, don't hold on to a single state or device. Don't rely on intellectual understanding. Don't keep what you've learned in meditation. Cast your body and mind into the great treasury of light and never look back. This invisible but radiant treasury of light. Cast your body and mind into that treasury. You might say, well, where is it? How can I, you know, I need to know where it is to cast body and mind into it. You know, it has no location. But it's not lacking anywhere. Cast body and mind into the great treasury of light and never look back. We might feel like, okay, body and mind dropped into the treasury of light, but then we might look back and be like, so how'd that go? How am I doing? And is that okay? Maybe I shouldn't have, actually. Or maybe I shouldn't do that again. It could be dangerous for my health. So, but he's recommending, don't look back. Just cast body and mind, drop body and mind into the great treasury of light and never look back. Don't seek enlightenment. Don't try to get rid of delusion. Don't be averse to thoughts arising, but don't fondly continue thoughts. Already, this is like very challenging Zazen instruction for meditators. You know that not so easy to not be averse to thoughts arising, but also not fondly continuing thoughts, and not seeking enlightenment or trying to get rid of delusion. Just sit grandly under the eaves or under the roof of this warm jewel temple. If you don't continue thoughts, they cannot arise by themselves. That's actually quite a radical statement, I think. Uh-huh. You know? It sounds so simple, too. I mean, there's the whole practice. If you don't continue thoughts, they can't arise by themselves. Just don't, you know, don't try to stop them, right? Don't be averse to thoughts arising. But don't just continue them. If you don't continue thoughts, they cannot arise by themselves. In other words, you have to make them arise for them to continue. Like, they go, I'm not trying to do that. They're just arising. So there's some subtle instruction in here about how thoughts actually arise. It may be possible that you don't have to continue them. And then there might be something happening in the mind, but it might not be your thoughts at that point. Just be like space, like a mass of fire. Just breathe naturally in and out and sit through everything without getting involved. Wonderfully straightforward Zazen instruction. Each sentence is like a complete instruction. Just sit through everything without getting involved. Again, this doesn't mean like nothing's happening. You're just not getting involved in it. Even if 84,000 random thoughts arise and vanish, if one doesn't get involved with them and thoroughly relinquishes them, each thought will be the light of the spiritual power of wisdom. So thoughts are light. Thoughts are a manifestation of this light. But it takes not being involved with them to appreciate that. This doesn't apply only to sitting. Each step is the walking of light. Now in Sesshin, we usually sit for 40 minutes and then we get up and do what we call Qinyin, a lot of you probably just did very, very slow walking. That's a walking of the light. And then sit back down and do the sitting of the light. And then food comes and we do eating of the light. And then night comes and we do sleeping of the light. And then the alarm goes off very early in the morning and we do groggy wake up of the light. And then we do some more sitting of the light, some more walking of the light, some more eating of the light, some more listening about the light, some more sleeping of the light, some more waking up of the light. And 10 weeks later, we close the practice period. But then, of course, it keeps going. 24 hours a day, be like someone who has utterly died. There's no view of self and no false discrimination at all. Nevertheless, the breath goes in and out. So, it's a little different from a dead person. And the nature of hearing and feeling, being without cognition or discrimination, body and mind are one suchness in the unified light silently shining. Therefore, one responds when called. So this is not some kind of passive, apathetic stagnation kind of practice. It's totally alive. It's totally present. And it's totally ready for whatever happens next. So we may be sitting, getting really still, and then somebody says, ring the bell, or, you know, come over here and help me serve the food. But like, no, I'm not the food server. We just, you know, this is hard too. We get really into settling very still. But then this light can respond when called. Those are the tsachin ways we get called. But then when we leave here, then we get called in infinite ways, right? All day long, we're being called. And the light is very dynamic and responsive. So, like someone who's utterly died, and yet one responds when called. This is the light of one suchness of ordinary and holy delusion and enlightenment. In this light, there's not like, it's not like the light is a holy thing, and then like, kind of like blurred fog is the ordinary. This light is the one suchness of ordinary and holy delusion and enlightenment. Though it is within activity, it's not hindered by activity. Forests, flowers, grasses and leaves, people and animals, large and small, long and short, square and round, all manifest at once without any discrimination or will. Like, nature takes care of itself. I mean, people can give nature a very hard time, as we know, but trees and grasses and rocks and all manifest this light without trying to bring it forth. This is the proof that the light is not obstructed by activity. The empty luminosity shines by itself without exerting mental energy. The empty luminosity shines by itself without exerting mental energy. This light fundamentally has no abode. Though Buddhas appear in the world, it does not appear in the world. Though Buddhas enter nirvana, it does not enter nirvana. When you are born, the light isn't born. And when you die, the light doesn't disappear. It's not more in Buddhas, not less in sentient beings. It's not deluded when you're deluded. It doesn't become enlightened when you awaken. It has no location, no sign or name. It is the totality of everything. It cannot be grasped or abandoned or attained. Try to get a hold of that light and understand it with a conceptual mind. It can't be done, but it also can't be abandoned. We can't get rid of it, we can't escape it, and we can't get it, and we can't attain it. But while unattainable, it is in effect throughout the entire being. From the highest heaven to the lowest hell, it is just thus, complete and clear, the wondrously inconceivable spiritual light. And then the appreciation of this light gets transmitted from these ancestors to ancestors in very strange ways. So these stories that we're going to start getting into tomorrow, it's not like they just say, hey, the light's shining, don't you appreciate it? It's usually not like that. Usually that doesn't work. You're welcome to come, even if you're not in the session, you're welcome to come to these talks and explore this transmission of light, if you like. It's often very unexpected and unusual ways that that these ancestors suddenly appreciated this wondrously inconceivable spiritual light. Would you like to bring anything up before having some tea? Or any questions about sashimi or anything? Barbara?
What is the consequence of
non-appreciation, which is, you know, sad, kind of, right? If there's anything we don't appreciate, it's we're missing an opportunity. What is it about appreciation? It could almost say that our function as humans on this planet, and particularly as spiritual practitioners, almost like our intention can be to just appreciate this light, we could say, but it kind of comes along with everything, right? Because it's everywhere and it's what's reflecting on everything. So the more we appreciate the light, the more we appreciate the objects reflected by it too. So it's not like just die or something if we don't appreciate it. And I think there's degrees of appreciation too. You know, we appreciate it sometimes and then we forget. We appreciate it a little bit, but then the light seems to turn darker, you know, a cloud blocks it out and we don't appreciate it as much.
I'm trying to ask the question, so I'm thinking of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really go much further than that as, say, the source of light.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you experience, you know, and then there's dark because the sun is in that position.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, I can see this light here.
Mm-hmm. The source, what's the source of light? Is that the question?
We could say that, yeah. I know you can't see it, you can't see the rays.
It's interesting with the sun, because the light coming from the sun, we see it reflected in objects, and yet we look back at the source, but we usually can't look directly into the source. And in fact, all these other, from a kind of scientific point of view, right, like these electric lights are shining due to, petroleum products or coal and all, and which is created by the sun, as I understand it. It's old, very, very old plant life, right, that's become petrified under the earth. So it's kind of neat, I think, that all forms of energy and, like, you know, human-made light actually can be traced back to the sun. Maybe some scientists would say something different, but that's how I would understand it from my limited scientific view, is that all forms of, like, artificial light are actually fueled by, or, you know, their source is things that were originally made from the sun. Even if we say, well, what about lava that comes out of the earth, right? You see it, like, and it's shining, it's light, like in Hawaii at night, there's light coming off that lava. Well, they say that's not from the sun, but actually the earth, as I understand it again, is actually a piece of stuff that flew off the sun. I mean, astronomers might say, excuse me if this is way off, but in our solar system, in our world system, all forms of light could be traced back through time and space to this one giant, actually pretty small star, relatively speaking, but looks big to us, the brightest star nearby, and it's all coming from there. Now, we do have starlight at night, right? It's actually not coming from the sun, so that's not the source of all light for us on Earth, is not necessarily the sun, but it's other stars. But then if you go back to the source, if you try to, like, look directly at the source of of this light, it'll burn our eyes right out, right? Especially if we go like right to the center of it. If we even approach it, if we could fly really close to like get to the center of a star or the sun, we would be obliterated. So I think the source of all light is something like that. If we get too close to it, we'll be obliterated. So on that note, yes, did you, Barbara? What are you gonna say? So it's like we can't actually sit at the source of the light. We can just appreciate the light itself. I think that's our work for the next few days and the rest of our life. May all beings enjoy the gift of practice period and absorption in the treasury of light, and as their appreciation grows more and more, may their light irradiate in all directions for the benefit of all beings. Beings are numberless.